Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, June 10th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 24, the second paragraph, The Almost Certain Consequences That Follow, through one paragraph ending Putting His Hand on a Hot Stove. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Leela S. Readers of the text, Dana P., Eileen M., and Lisa N. The reference number for Sunday, June 9th, is 21,472. That's 21472. And for this morning, Monday, June 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,473. That's 21473. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. Wanted to say a special thank you to all of you who are providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you so much, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Leela S. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leela S., recovered compulsive overeater from Missouri. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me read this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Leela S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 24, that second paragraph, the almost certain consequences that follow, through one paragraph ending, putting his hand on a hot stove. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Dana P. to read and then share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for leading the meeting today, and so grateful to have this opportunity. You know, I think of it. I'm really the luckiest girl in the world, and I'll share about why regarding this paragraph here. Dana P., and I'm in California, recovered. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. In my margin right here, I have written, did I ever choose to but eat anyway? And then I have another question. Do you hear about people who say just to think it through? You know, I used to go to other meetings. I actually still go to other meetings from another fellowship, and there's a big thing up on the wall that says think. Which to me implies that we can think it through and come to the conclusion that it's not a good idea, just like putting the hand on a hot stove. And it's funny because when I was a little girl, I was thinking about when I went camping, and we had just arrived at the campsite, and I saw the fire pit where all the ashes were there. And I was probably, 5 years old or something. I was really little. And it looked very inviting to me for some reason. And I went up there and I put my foot, I like stepped into it. And underneath were all those hot coals. And I just remember screaming. And before I knew it, my mother had grabbed me and ran me down and stuck my foot into the water to cool off that hot stove. And That's what my God does for me. You know, my God saves me over and over and over, 41 years living with this manifestation, the physical manifestation of the disease. And it's been really powerful when I recognize that. But what I do know is we're talking about step one, and the pages that preceded and the paragraphs that have preceded this one are all about step one. You know, are we admitting that we're powerless, that we can't control the power of our will? And the other part, you know, that my life has become unmanageable. So I'm in other programs around that second half. Because really, this is not about the food. The food is simply a symptom, and or it is a current solution, if I'm active, to the unmanageability of my life. And so, you know, what is the solution? The solution is step two, you know, coming to believe that there is this power that is greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And step three, I make a decision. And then the steps that come after that, I got to get into action. I have to prove those statements, those decisions that I made. I have to do the action to get the result. And what is the result? What is the only solution? It is a spiritual experience. It's not a food plan. It's not calling 3 people a day. It's not going to this many meetings. It's that spiritual solution. So if you're new, you know, we're here for you. I'm happy to take any outreach or answer any questions. Just really grateful because you, too, are exactly like me, the luckiest person on this planet to have a problem, if you will, that
time.
We have a solution to, which is a spiritual experience. So thanks, Dawn, so much, and I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P., for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L.
Chanel T.
Chanel T. Who else would like to share? Press star 1.
Ian F.
Ian F. Okay, let's start with those three. Stephanie L., Chanel T., and Ian F. Stephanie L., please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And thank you, John, for your service. And loved the opening share today. And yeah, like this just adds context to this, that beautiful paragraph that we read on Friday, because here's the thing. I can't think through the drink, right? That's what they say in the beverage program, but I can't think through the consequences. My mind doesn't work that way. I used to hear, put the food down, or we don't eat no matter what. And I'd be like, okay, all right. But I couldn't. I couldn't just put the food down, or I couldn't just not eat no matter what, or I couldn't think through the consequences of that first bite because there was something broken, right? And my sponsor loves to give me this analogy of like the bridge between the memory of the suffering and my conscious mind is somehow broken. And that's exactly right. I am without defense against that first compulsive bite, and I can't reason my way out of it. Intellect doesn't solve this problem for me, right? Information doesn't, like I have to have the right information, but it doesn't solve the problem. The only thing that does solve the problem is working the steps and connecting with a God of my understanding who then restores me to sanity, who then protects me from the fact that I can't remember how awful it was. And I have suffered in this disease. I have gained and lost 100 pounds multiple times. I've had periods of relapse where I was suicidal and at one point had to be hospitalized because I am this I'm taken to these dark places, right? But the good news is my sanity is restored one day at a time. And it's not just the food, then it's all the fun life, the life stuff, right? That's the work one day at a time. But this connection with this God that gives me the power to not have to take the first bite, that's what's available here. And if you're struggling, get a sponsor, work the steps, because this is available for you too. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. from California. Chanel T., please share with us, followed by Ian F.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Chanel T. with a frog in my throat this morning. Hi, I'm a compulsive eater in Washington State, and I get to live in recovery today purely by the grace of God. Two images come to mind. One was our little cat, pretty young, years and years ago, and we had a wood stove in that house. And you know what happened. The cat decided to leap up onto the stove when there was a fire burning inside it. And just, I witnessed it. I couldn't stop it. It went in slow motion for me. And that poor little kitty had scalded paws for weeks, right? Do you think the cat went near that stove again? No. She respected the wood stove from then on. An old friend of mine had no experience with the ocean. As a young adult, went to the ocean with a buddy, and the buddy said, respect the ocean, always respect. He's like, these are little waves, Southern California. These are little waves. Well, guess what happened? He waded out a little too far, and the ocean dumped him on his head. He's going to remember that. He'll never forget that. Well, when it comes to this disease, I truly have that built-in forgetter, that mental twist, where the disease tells me I don't have a disease. This illness tells me I don't have an illness. It tells me that it is okay to have that today. It is okay to have a little bit, to do it this way, to not weigh and measure my food, which is something I personally need to do for my own liar in my head. I need to weigh and measure my food every day. That I don't need to take another sponsee. That I don't need to work the steps like my life depends on it. That while I'm doing this other deep, deep dive into the spiritual part of these steps, which is all of it. So it's okay. I don't have to do all those 10 steps that I do. Lies. That's me forgetting. Let me never forget my step one experiences, plural, because it's ongoing. I need to remember that I'm just. Here's the good news, though, and that my life's unmanageable, right? Without divine help. Here's the great news. The great news is that there is a solution, and every moment of every day, I can pick up that solution. I can't think my way through it. I can't wish it were different, but I can absolutely work the program like my life depends on it, and that's what I choose to do today. I thank you so much. If you're new or you're out there struggling, please stay in this room, particularly in this one. Stay in the room with us and see the miracle continue to happen in your life. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. from Washington. Ian F., please share with us. And if you happen to be just joining us, we are on page 24, talking about that second paragraph that starts with the almost certain consequences that follow through that one paragraph ending, putting his hand on a hot stove. So after Ian shares, I'll be taking a list of other names. So please get ready to put your name out there and share. Ian F., please share with us. It's your turn.
Hey, y'all. This is Ian F. calling out of Indiana. I'm a compulsive overeater. Yeah, I find my dad to be a really hilarious human being because he will do the normal person thing of he does something, it's painful, so he doesn't do it again. He did that with alcohol. He did that with speed. You know, he does that with food all the time. He eats something and it doesn't process well with him for whatever reason. And he will stop eating it. And it just baffles my mind. You know, it's not something that I'm capable of doing. And someone else mentioned that slogan, don't eat no matter what. And that's just really not helpful. Because the way that I'm wired is I will eat no matter what. It does not matter what problem I am facing. my brain will always go, food would make this a little bit better. Every food that I ever considered, it was going to be a lifestyle. It was never, I'd like to have this at some point. You know, I would look at a Cliff Bar and go, I'm going to be a rock climber, but all I wanted to do is eat Cliff Bars. You know, that's how my brain works. That's just how my brain works. And as we work the steps, and it doesn't matter where you are in your recovery, you know, I used to be really afraid of forgetting what it was like. Because a lot of times the memory of the pain of the binges will slip my mind. And I just can't, no matter how hard I think, I can't get back to it. And the reason that that's okay is because it's not the memory that keeps us from eating, right? It's this higher power that we gain access to, you know? And any time that I actually think about, what if I did put that ice cream? You know, you have the intrusive thought of, what if I did drive off this bridge? What if I did, you know, put this ice cream in my mouth? Then I go, ooh, yeah, no. You know, but that's a gift from God. That's not something I do. And that comes from working the steps. So that's what I've got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experiences, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Eileen M.
And then who was it from Washington?
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Lisa N.
Lisa N.
Dina A., New Jersey.
Was that Tina or Dina?
Dina.
Dina A., New Jersey. Who else would like to share? Press star one. I have Eileen M., Sherry H.M.
Don, you got muted. Don, you got muted.
Okay, very good. Sorry about that. Eileen M., please go ahead and start us off and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I just have a short comment because people are kind of really explaining this very well so far. Yeah, this reminds me of that place in the Big Book where Bill says that he vaguely sensed that something that he was about to do was a good idea, you know, because he convinced himself that it would be okay this time. And, I did that all the time. You know, I had this vague sense that, hey, this might not be a good idea, but I want to do it, so I'm going to do it. And, you know, this is such a good description of the insanity, you know, the mental twist that tells us, hey, it's okay this time. And, you know, this is why I could not think through the bite. As, you know, I've often heard in OA, think through the bite, and, you know, I couldn't do that because of the mental twist, you know. And, you know, when it comes to this disease, you know, pain has a short memory. You know, it really does, is that we can't remember the pain and the suffering of the last time. And it's like a lie that I tell myself that, hey, it's going to be okay. That's just what I wanted to say. You know, and the thing is that the mental twist that we have is that's what the steps treat. You know, we have the food plan treats the allergy, and the mental twist is treated by the steps. So anyway, that's all I have, and thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. Sherry H.M., it's your turn, followed by Lisa N.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, gratefully recovered from Washington State. This reminds me of a time when I'd been in program for a couple years, and basically a tragedy happened. My my puppy was attacked at the ferry terminal, which is always a safe place. And luckily, she, you know, after a lot of treatment, she turned out fine. You know, always had issues with other dogs, obviously, but and I had PTSD as well. So during that tragic time, I'd been away from, you know, the food for so long, in a couple years, and really didn't have, you know, cravings, hardly ever. But I went to my refrigerator, just sort of on autopilot, kind of. And I don't even, I mean, I don't really even know how I got there. It's just like, poof, I was there. I open up the fridge and it says, Sherry, do you think there's anything in this fridge that can really fix, you know, your heart? And I said, wow, okay, maybe not. And it just goes to show you how we're so wired, or I was so wired to, if anything's wrong in my heart, even, I mean, this was obviously a major thing with PTSD, but anything, my natural go-to, I thought would have been, you know, God all the time, but it actually, my God at the time was food. And so, especially sugar. So I'm so grateful for this program. And you are wonderful. For thank you for your service. And everybody have a good day. And yeah, I know my fridge and my cupboards are not going to solve my problem. It's just going to lead to an affair of food again. Okay, have a good day. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Lisa N., it's your turn, followed by Dina A., and then I'll be taking some more names in case you're joining us. We're on page 24, talking about that second paragraph, the almost certain consequences that follow, through one paragraph ending, putting his hand on a hot stove. So Lisa N., please share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service this morning. And everybody, thank you for your wonderful shares. I learn so much in these meetings. And I need to be here. I need to be here every day to be reminded of what I've got, what kind of disease I have. And it's okay because I have a daily reprieve as long as I stay in fit spiritual condition. We have all of our tools and our steps that tell us that. It's a wonderful program. If you're new, hang in there. So somebody mentioned they looked in the side of their book, what had been written. And I wrote, don't remember what food did to me, only what it did for me. So the numerous diets I went on and thinking, well, I lose weight every time I do this, or I eat this way, or I do this, but I would forget very quickly, like within, you know, it could be any time of like a week, it could be 2 days, it could be 3 days, whatever I could muster up to hold that beach ball down, it could totally bring me back to a horrible place that I had been before, but completely forgot. It wasn't like every Christmas I would say, okay, remember what happened last Christmas, how much you ate, and how sick you got, and how many pounds you gained. It was always that excitement and the buildup and where I was going to go for a party and what the food would be and what I was cooking and what I was buying and ordering and what it. I never could remember. And that's what is so different for people, and they don't understand us. But that's okay. They don't have to. Nobody has to understand me. I just have to know myself that I need to work this program so I can stay out of that bad, bad place that, you know, that I can't seem to remember. So thank you so much for letting me share. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. Dina A. From New Jersey, please share with us. Star one, Dina. Okay, maybe Dina had to step away. I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Della Jean.
Hi, Dina A. again.
Oh, Dina A. Very good. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. I'll take some more names and we'll have you share.
Della Jean.
Della Jean. Okay. And Sharon, who else would like to share? Who was that?
Sharon.
Was that Sharon?
E.
Karen E.
Yeah.
Very good. Karen E. Who
Beth
else?
P.
Beth P.
Beth P.
Okay. All right. And who else would like to share?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Nice little birdie in the background there. Okay, I have Dina A., Della Jean, Karen E., Beth P., and Jordan L. Go ahead, Dina, please share with us.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Dina A., New Jersey. I'm so glad to be on live and be able to share, even though it's something that I think I try to avoid being on live so that I don't have to share that excuse, but I'm glad that for today I'm willing and here. And I just love this paragraph. I love the language of the big book. Like, these sane ideas are not, like, rushing to crowd into my mind. And I'm pulled to the word, the threadbare idea. To me, threadbare is something so well used and in a way loved and cozy. My old ideas of that I'm going to handle this myself. I think I can do it. This time it will be a problem. First I had it with the food. Now I have it with life. And those cozy ideas, like my ratty-tatty favorite sweatshirt that I put on every time I, came home and just wanted to get comfortable. And my kids are like, Mom, throwing that out. And I almost start crying, like, no, don't throw out my favorite sweatshirt. I need it. So these threadbare ideas are hard to give up. And I'm just so grateful today that I see them not crowding into my mind, but because I pray every day, I take my seventh step. I pray about each character defect, and God, please teach me the opposite. And slowly, slowly, miracles are happening. Like, God, teach me to stop not asking for help, and help me stop not asking for help, and teach me to ask for help. And this morning I woke up not feeling well, and I actually texted a neighbor who drives her son to the same school that my son goes to, like, hey, you think you could take my son to school? I never would have done that. I would have forced myself out of bed and go. And now I slept an extra 20 minutes. It wasn't crowding into my mind. I kind of have to pray about it and then pause, give that pause so I could try to hear it. It's not crowding in, but slowly miracles are happening. And while I still didn't throw away that threadbare idea, that threadbare sweatshirt, I'm putting it on less and less. I need that less and less. And it's not me. It's definitely not me doing it. It's my higher power coming in, transforming me through me coming in. I one time heard years ago in program, it's 100% me and 100% my higher power. Because if I'm not in 100%, I don't have this program. But there's no way that I can even do any percent of it. So it's 100% my higher power as well. For that, I'm so grateful. Thank you. I'll take care. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dina A. from New Jersey. Della Jean, it's your turn, followed by Karen E.
I'm Della Jean M. from Idaho. I am getting more and more well mentally, physically, and spiritually. I've lost half I need to lose. And when I'm dressed nice, I look pretty terrific in the mirror. But as long as I'm still overweight, still struggling to stay on my food plan to get the rest of the weight off, I'm still not recovered. I want to get the rest of the weight off. Blood pressure and cholesterol and A1C and all those things are terrific. But it's because of the medicine I take. If I was at a healthy weight, I might not need to take most of that medicine or maybe even a very low dose of some of it. Anyway, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Della Jean from Idaho. Karen E., it's your turn, followed by Beth P.
Hi, this is Sharon E. from Ohio, and I'm needing to be a part of a meeting again, so I chose to share today. So the hot stove part of that reading made me think about the fact that I went back to the food because of a lot of reasons, but I had to get to that point of the hand touching the hot stove for me to realize I had to get back on the wagon because health issues. Oddly enough, I actually find it really hard to do a food plan, but it's not just health issues. It's also selfishness with my time because I find myself playing a lot of games and stuff, and that's an addiction that I'm also dealing with. So that takes time that I should be spending with my family, with myself, with my higher power, with my house. I'm being very selfish with my time. And I think that's probably part of why I couldn't get the food plan down pat, because I was being selfish with my time. Also, and this is an odd one, but when I lost a lot, I started getting some looks that scared me because of some things that happened in the past. And had I been working my 10th step, that probably would not have pushed me into gaining some weight back. So every time I gain weight, it's because I'm not doing the steps. And that's why we say keep coming back, because it works if you work it. And that's something I appreciate, but that I didn't really understand until, a lot of, hand touched the hot stove and it reminded me, hey, things aren't what they always seem to be. So anyway, thank you for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sharon E. from Ohio. Beth P., it's your turn, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, this is Beth P., and I'm in Maui, Hawaii. This meeting starts at 4 in the morning for me, so this is unusual for me to be up this early. This is a really powerful paragraph for me, that the power of choice is lost when I put that first bite of alcoholic food in my body. It first starts in my mind. I start lying to myself. And I lose the spiritual principle of honesty. I go against my higher nature because I'm willing to believe a lie for the comfort and ease of the first bite. What I think it's going to give me, whether it's just like this little high, this little rush, or this escape from whatever stress I'm experiencing in the moment, but it's based on a lie. And it's that strange mental blank spot that I cannot recall the 1,000 times in the past that I put that food in my body and the binge that ensued and what happened afterward. And so I look back at the doctor's opinion, and I realize that the comfort and ease of the first bite is what allows me to believe the lie. I put the food in my body, and the phenomenon of craving happens, and that is what I never account for, the phenomenon of craving. And what the current doctor's opinion would tell me is that it's actually a part of my brain that I do not have conscious control over, that hijacks the higher, more evolved part of my brain that can weigh out consequences, that knows that I'm going to regret doing it, that doesn't want those consequences. It doesn't matter. The drug is in my system. It hijacks my brain and takes over. And I end up going on a spree, emerging remorseful and full of shame and making a new promise. And then I really mean that promise, but then human emotions build up so much so I'm willing to believe the lie again. And hence the cycle of addiction continues. I need to remember the consequences. And if I don't want the consequences, I don't put the food in my body. And once I start associating recovery with pleasure and that food with pain, it is a hot stove. Once that's set up neurologically in my brain, I no longer desire the food. And that's where my recovery is happening, is I've lost the desire to harm myself. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Beth P. from Hawaii. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And we'll now have Jordan L. Your turn to share, and then I'll take one or two more names. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. There are a lot of compulsive overeaters that are not. and it's funny because I look back at how it was that I got here. and it still kind of blows me away a little bit. It still kind of blows me away that, I don't know, I guess that moment of clarity. and it, for me, it happened reading the Big Book with another compulsive overeater, where it really, really sunk in for me. It wasn't that I was convinced. It wasn't that, I mean, maybe it was because I had heard it over and over again, repeated a million times, but it really sunk in that I had no defense against this. Even being well-educated, an intelligent person, who has a couple of college degrees and has really used self-will to make some shit happen in her life, you know? it wasn't going to serve me here. that I really was without defense against that first compulsive bite and against this disease, you know? and it is, I don't know, like, I guess it's hitting that bottom, like really internalizing this stuff. The thoughts that might occur are hazily and readily supplanted with an old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people, that this time will be different, that I can make it happen, that self-will will serve me here, whatever it is, that old obsessive idea that if I can just tweak it around a little bit, I can figure it out this time. so I really needed to accept that, the complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps us from putting our hand on a hot stove. So thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. We're talking about page 24, that second paragraph. And if you haven't shared in the last few days, if you'd like to share, please give me your name. I could probably take time for two-minute shares if people would like to share.
This is Denise H.
Denise H. Okay. Would someone else like to share? Okay, Denise, you go ahead and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Okay, this is Denise H. in South Carolina. Can you hear me?
Yep, I sure can. Go ahead.
Okay.
Please share.
Okay. this has been a great topic for me. I've had a terrible relapse and I'm feeling pretty hopeless and shameful and all of the above that we get when we allow the disease to have its way. And when I think about the hot stove, I think sometimes I like flying close to the flame, and I like that anxiety, and well, not anxiety, it's more like a an adrenaline rush when I do something dangerous. I used to jump out of airplanes, and, you know, I just wonder, you know, when I'm listening to these other people and the big book, I feel like I need to tattoo all of this on my forehead so I remember that I have a disease and it's progressive. It's terribly progressive. And if I don't keep my hand off the hot stove, it's going to kill me. So I appreciate everyone being here, everyone sharing, and everyone who has been so honest and forthright in their shares. Means a lot to me. So thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Denise H., Carolina, for sharing with us. I have time for about a two-minute share if someone would like to take it. Press star one if you'd like to share.
Pamela C.
Who? Pamela C.?
Yes.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Hi, thank you. Pamela C., compulsive overeater in Southern California. I wasn't going to share about my recent relapse, but the person ahead of me shared hers, and I thought, well, that's the first way I can start to be honest, is just be honest with everybody, because I just have this disease that is constantly lying to me, and I have this fear now that I've relapsed. Am I one of those that the book talks about, like I'm incapable of being dishonest. I'm afraid that I have the thing where I cannot be honest with myself and therefore anybody else, sponsor, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, during this relapse, that hit me really hard. And so my head is thinking, you know, why try again? It's just going to be the same thing. And you're not going to be able to be completely honest. And I just could not. What was really difficult for me was, you know, the sending in my food every day and sticking to that. Because I don't prepare well. And, you know, I would just grab, you know, whatever. If I were still hungry after eating what I had planned to eat and still hungry, just grab, like, the worst thing, like a bag of Fritos or whatever, something not healthy. And then not telling my sponsor that I did that or texting her before I did that. And I just couldn't do it. I just could not take that one simple step of
time.
Let the sponsor know. Thank you. So anyway, I still have hope, and I just want to let everybody know that I'm one of you. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Pamela C., for sharing with us. And to everyone who shared, you really made this meeting really just a powerful experience. Thank you so much for your service. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.